Come on up, guys. Come on up.
Oh, God. All right. Amen. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, would it be asking too much? Can I get a pulpit or a lectern or somebody just bend over and I'll put it on your back or whatever would be fine with me? It would be great. And good morning, everybody. Good to see you. And man, I tell you, I love your pastor and his wife. And what a spirit of excellence that is on this church and on this pastor. And thank you. So I appreciate that very much. And to be able to be here and to be a part of what God is doing here in Tyler at Church on the Move. And, you know, I was thinking about what Pastor said. I feel your pain about, you know, how did we end up together? But I've got to figure it out. What happened is a man is won by his eyes. And so I looked at her and said, yes. And a woman is won by her ears. So I'm a fast talker. That's all I can say. Is before she knew what was happening, I had a ring on that finger before she had time to think about it. There was a husband and wife that were arguing one day, and he was just kind of berating her and really not being very nice. And he said, how can you be so beautiful and yet so stupid? And she looked at him, she said, well, I'm beautiful so you could love me, and I'm stupid so I could love you. Right? So, yeah, good comeback. So, you know, here's what I know. 94% of churches in America are on the decline, mega churches included. 94% of churches in America have stopped growing, and some are even losing in attendance. Now, that's significant, but the other thing that is significant is that 94%, 83% of people that don't go to church said that if somebody asked them to go to church, they would go. 2% of Christians ever invite anyone to church. How many of you see the problem? So you would be surprised the power of an invitation of someone that just simply says, hey, come sit with me. And one of the things that we've been sharing is you know, there are people all over the place that you run into every day that are basically saying, hey, invite me to church. When you come across someone and someone you say, hey, how are you doing? And they say, well, I'm having a bad day. You know what they're saying? Hey, invite me to church. I need something in my life. When you come across someone and they say, well, I'm new here in town. You know what they're saying? I'm looking for a place to connect. And so there are all of these triggers that are out there that people will share with you in a conversation that you can invite them to be a part of your church. And everybody loves to be asked. And one of the things that we've started doing is we're doing what we do an invite, and then we do what we call an invite. Because we found out people in our church weren't really, that weren't connected. It's because they're just people that you need to go the extra mile with. See, when I got saved, it was like you didn't have to ask me for anything. I mean, I was there if it was going on at the church. I was going to be involved in it. But there are people that come to church that they need to be invited in their own church. And that's okay. You know, sometimes you just need to say, hey, man, we got men's meeting coming up. I'd love for you to come and, yeah, I've never seen you at men's meeting. I'd love for you to come and just sit with me. I'd love for you to come be a part of this. Hey, we have a conference coming up. And, you know, all of our ladies are coming. I've never seen you at the conference. It'd mean so much to me. I see you at church if you just come and be a part of this conference. So people need to be invited, and then they need to be invited, in-house invited as well. But we all love to be asked, right? We all love to be asked. We all love to be thought that we're important in things that are going on in our lives. Well, I'm so glad again to be here this morning. And as I said, you know, Church on the Move is gold. I love that your pastor has a vision. I love that your pastor has a spirit of excellence on them and on the things that they do and how they do it. And we're just privileged to be a part of what they're doing and to add to that whatever we can add to it. We're just blessed to do that. I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes that I have on a message. You know, when you come to be a guest speaker and you get the opportunity, and thank you, Pastor, by the way, for having us back. What were you thinking? But we're pleased to be here. Is that you can speak what you want to speak, or you can speak what God wants you to speak. And, you know, I had a duration. I thought, hey, this would be fun to share. And yet I know without a doubt, I heard God say, I want you to talk to people about when storms come. Not if storms come, but when storms come. Because the truth of the matter is we all go through storms. And I thought, wouldn't it be nice if storms were an elective, if we could just, you know, check the box and say, no, thank you. I'm doing fine. But we don't get that option, and we don't get that opportunity because storms are real and they come to everybody. And I just want to say this, and there's a little bit of prophetic edge in what I'm saying this morning, that if you're here this morning and your marriage is going through a storm, I'm so glad you're here. And if your marriage is going through a storm, listen, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with your marriage. All marriages go through storms. Maybe you're going through a relational storm, maybe a financial storm, maybe a physical storm. You got a bad report from the doctors about something that's going on in your body. And we all face these storms in our life. In fact, someone said there are three categories of people sitting in church. One are those that are in a storm. Anybody here in a storm this morning? You're going through something. You guys must be living right then. Amen. Way to go, Pastor. Good word. Got them taught up there. Now, there are a few hands that went up. That some of you this morning are in a storm. That's just called life. That's called being a card-carrying member of the human race. You're going through a storm. So either you're in a storm, or has anybody here this morning come out of a storm? Right? Went through it, you know, got the t-shirt, don't want to go through it again, but I'm out on the other side. Now, I don't want to depress anybody, but the third category are those that are getting ready to go into a storm. So if you haven't raised your hand yet, guess who you are? There's a storm on the way. And people say, Pastor, you need to be more positive. I am. I'm positive there's a storm on the way. And so you're going to go through something, but that's okay. And Jesus gave us some instructions on how to get through the storm, right? And that's what I want to share with you this morning on how to get through the storm, whatever that storm is. So, Father, this morning we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace in our life. And just pray this morning, Father, that as we take a moment to hear your voice and hear what it is that you're saying, that, God, you'll give us wisdom. And God, that we will hear what the Spirit of God is saying to our hearts and to our lives as we look at storms that come up in our life. And so, Father, thank you that the Word brings the answer that we need. And I pray for those today, God, that maybe are in that storm. And I pray that hope arises. I pray, Father, that they stay anchored in Christ. And Father, I'm just confident. I'm so thankful that they are in a church that's going to walk them through that storm and help them to come out on the other side, not the victim, but rather being the victor in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, obviously, a storm is a metaphor for maybe a bad day, maybe a bad report, maybe a difficult situation. Storms describe uncomfortable moments or uncomfortable times in our lives, setbacks, so to speak. And I want to share by just giving you some scriptures this morning to show you that you're in good company, because we see people all through the Word of God that have just gone through things, and oftentimes they are there for an example, good or bad. Job 5:7 says, yet man is born to trouble as sparks fly upward. I think about Job, and I think here's a guy that could have used a life coach. I mean, he dealt with a lot of things in life. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 says, perilous times and perilous men, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. I mean, no, we're living in the last days. And so we know that there are going to be difficulties. We know there are going to be difficult times. There are going to be storms that we go through. Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers him out of them all. Amen. We can hold on to that and we can claim that. John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. For in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And then 2 Corinthians 4:17, I'm going to share this verse again in just a moment, says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And we're going to come back to that verse in just a moment and look about that and talk about that for just a moment then. Max Lucado, who is a very popular author, had made the statement, and he said this, and I love what he says about this, is that earth is not heaven. This is not heaven. Don't expect it to be. Listen, heaven and earth are totally different. And sometimes we get this concept that I'm going to have a perfect life here on earth. Now, don't get me wrong. Life can be good and life can be rich and life can be fulfilling. But we know sometimes we get this false idea of what earth is going to be like, that we're going to go along without any problems, and it's just not the case. And so the expectation is earth is not heaven. Don't expect it to be that. Lower your expectations of earth. So let me do this. What do storms look like? In your outline, in your bulletin, you have an outline. It's very simple. I'm going to take the word storm and I'm going to break it down. And hopefully out of breaking this down, you're going to see some things that can help you in the situation that you're in. And here's what I learned a long time ago. That if a message isn't for me, then it's for me to give to someone. So if you're not in a storm this morning, just put it on a shelf. It's going to be something you can refer back to. Or if you're not in a storm this morning, I promise you, you will meet someone this week that is, and you can be a blessing in their life. So I want you to take notes and write some of these things down. So next to the letter S, I want you to write the word suddenly. Because here's the thing about storms. Sometimes they show up out of nowhere. Never saw that coming. Life was good. I was going through life just fat, dumb, and happy. And all of a sudden, now then, I've got this incredible storm in my life that I'm going through. A number of years ago, we had the opportunity to go to Israel, and we were on a boat going across the Sea of Galilee. And what I really wanted to do, and this is a thing now, you can do this, I really wanted to rent a jet ski and ride a jet ski across the Sea of Galilee. That just seems, you know, just like combining the old and the new, but we didn't get to make it happen that trip. But we're on the Sea of Galilee, and our guide is talking to us about how the storms come, how the disciples got caught up in the storm. And what happens is there's a mountain range that surrounds the Sea of Galilee. And storms will come up, and they will build up behind the mountain. You can't even see them coming. But they're building, and they're building. The clouds are getting dark, and the winds are building. And then all of a sudden, they just come over the mountain or around the mountain. And so out of nowhere, one moment, it's smooth sailing. One moment, everything looks good. And the next moment, in an instant, you are in a whirlwind. You're in a storm facing things in life. And that's the way life happens. That everything can be good, and there's no predictor. There's no alarm system. There's no warning that things are about to go south on you. But storms come suddenly in our life. And that's why we have to walk by faith, right? Because sometimes you find yourself in a situation that you don't have time to go to church. That you didn't have time to go to a seminar, download a podcast on building faith. You better keep your faith tank full, amen? You know, so many times we go through life on empty, and God wants us to stay filled up. I love the illustration of David. David made this statement. David said, I feel like I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Man, I like it when I have those days, right? That I can just run over everything. I can leap walls in a single bound. Man, I just feel that Superman anointing. But then there are days that I feel like I've been run over by a troop and ran into a wall, right? Just night and day difference. And so we're called to live by faith. And that means you got to keep that faith tank in your life filled. Faith comes by hearing. You're sitting here this morning and you're making a deposit inside of yourself. You're making a deposit into your future. You're making a deposit into your family. You're never wasting time when you're sitting in church. Always good things are happening. God is filling that faith tank. I'll tell you like I tell my daughter. Is that gas gauge on your car, that E on the other end, doesn't stand for enough? All right. It means empty. So you better start filling it back up. So keep your faith tank full, because we know that storms come suddenly. The next thing that I would tell you about storms is this, and I think you need to write this down, is that storms are temporary. Amen to that. They don't last forever. And so if you're going through something this morning, listen, the best advice that I can give you, and I think this is God advice, is hold on to God. Don't lose your hope. Keep holding on to God. Someone made the statement, and I'm in full agreement with it, that hopelessness is the undertaker's best friend. When we can no longer see light at the end of the tunnel, when we can no longer see our way through the storm that we're going on, when we lose hope, listen, we have lost the battle. But if you can just keep that hope, that spiritual gift of hope, that God thing of hope on the inside, that I may be going through it, but I promise you somehow, some way, I'm going to come out on the other side. Amen. So no matter what you're going through, and somebody needs to hear this morning, it's temporary. It's not going to last forever. You're not going to be in this situation for the rest of your life. You're not going to be in this storm for the rest of your life. Your marriage can get through this. You can walk through this storm. I don't know how many times I've gone to the hospital, and I hate going to hospitals. That's a bummer. That's a part of the job that I don't like. Even though when I get there, I know I get to offer hope and pray, but it's just I know, man, I've got to just get prayed up to go into the hospital. Because the last thing you want to do is walk in and go, dude, oh God, you look bad, you know. But I don't know how many times I've been able to go into the hospital and see someone that is in a hopeless situation. And through faith in God and building that hope, watch God turn that situation around. Listen, I got to tell you, I still believe in miracles. They happen all the time. Let me read that verse again. 2 Corinthians 4:17. And it says, for our light affliction. See, we don't have the perspective that God has. For our light affliction, the Bible says, which is but for a moment, is working for us or in us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Let me say it this way, that the glory outweighs the storm, and it's the glory that lasts forever. Amen. Whatever you're going through lasts. In other words, there's a purpose behind the storm. When we go through pain, and nobody likes going through that, but I promise there's a pain for your purpose. Now listen very carefully. I didn't say God brought it. I didn't say God caused it. But I'm telling you, God will use it. And whatever you've gone through, there's a pain. There's a purpose for your pain. And just to understand that, just to know that God's going to use me, or that whatever I'm facing, God has a plan for that. See, I'm a firm believer, and I think the older I get, and the more I've been in ministry, and that this scripture becomes more real to me. And I believe this more and more. In fact, I think it may be becoming one of my life verses. And it's one of those verses that, you know, as a young man, you kind of shied away from it because everybody said that, and it's a catchphrase. But now that I've kind of been in ministry a little bit longer, I come to this verse and I think, yes, for all things work together for the good of those that love God, that are called according to his purpose. And that's becoming such a life verse for me, that I may be going through some things and I say, God, I don't understand. I don't know right now why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I'm confident at the end of the day, you're going to bring me through it. And nothing happens on accident. Father, nothing gets by you. I like this statement. Everything in my life is Father filtered. Didn't say God brought it, but I'm saying God's going to use it to work in me and to work through me. God's going to use that in my life. Storms don't last forever, but the blessing behind the storm does. And I look back at situations and I say, I never want to go through that again. Come on, every one of us can say that, right? I never want to go through that again. I never want to fight that battle again. I never want to deal with that again. But I look back at it and I say, you know what? I'm so thankful that I've learned the lesson. We have an opportunity to serve on a board back in our hometown, Oklahoma City there. It's an organization called Eden Clinic. And Eden Clinic is an organization that gives people, ladies that find themselves pregnant, an option. Rather than abortion, we are a pro-life group. And I have the privilege of sitting on this board. Last year, this may not seem like much on a national basis, but last year in our city, through this one organization, we saved 64 babies. Amen. Just give God a hand for that. These are women that came into our clinics that said that they were what we call abortion determined. They were going to have an abortion. And we're not a church. We're just an organization that loves people and shows them the love of Jesus. And 64 women made the decision to have their baby and to save that baby's life. Amen. We're so excited about that. And so our organization, understandably, has come under an attack. And there's just been some ugly things that have said and ugly things that are written. even in the church. How many know there ain't no fight like a church fight, right? Amen. And there are other churches that have come against us. What? Yeah. Other churches that have come against us. And the director, she's a precious soul, a precious lady. She's a friend of ours. And it is crushing her. And yet the thing is that I realized, I said, God, whatever door you open for me, and God placed me on this board. And I realized some of the battles she's fighting that we went through a couple of years ago. You know what I am now? I'm hardened. Amen. And some of the things she's going through, I just walk in and say, sis, it ain't no thing. Trust me, been there, done that. This is a good thing. Let them talk. Let the storm rage. We know who God is. We know where we are. Don't sweat it. She said, these churches, this whole group of churches financially dropped us. I said, how much did they pay you? How much did they give to your organization every month? How much did they give to us? She told me. And listen, I'm saying this because we're blessed. And she said, this much has gone out of our budget. And I said, my church will cover that. We'll write a check today. We're so blessed to be able to do that. And we're investing in babies. And I'm just saying that when you go through something, God's going to use you to help somebody else that's going through something. My marriage is struggling. Come on. Hey, I got to tell you a story. My wife and I, we were going through a hard time in church. And just something, you know, church is church. Things happen. And we were going through a hard time, and we were talking. We brought a friend in that's a mentor of ours, and we were talking to him. And this is, no, I'm not exaggerating this a bit. And we were at the point that we were struggling, and it was hard. And you know, we don't walk away from things, but we were just saying, you know, we got to have some help here. And he sat across, and he listened to us at a meal, and we poured out our heart, and we said, this is what we're going through. And he just sat there, and he looked at us. And he goes, that's it? He says, kids, stop. Go to work. You're okay. Can I tell you? I love that. It's one of those moments that you just kind of wake up and say, oh, thanks, Dad. You know, I appreciate that. Come on. You need a perspective sometimes. And maybe you're sitting here this morning. Maybe that's the reason I'm here this morning, is that God's using some of you to find someone and speak into their life. Be a dealer of hope. Be a distributor of hope into someone else's life and tell them you can make it. You can get through this. It's not the end of the world. I promise you. It may feel like it. But you're going to come out on the other side because God is faithful. Amen. Amen. So just let God use you. Listen, storms are temporary. They don't last forever. Amen. If you don't believe you're going to make it through the storm, you won't. Can I ask you a question? When you kick that chicken, I'm going to kick that chicken right now. When you go through a storm, and we all do, do you suffer gloriously, or do you suffer grotesquely? Because I can tell you, it matters to God. God is watching how we walk through the circumstances that we're in. When you go through a storm, do you drag every family member with you? When you go through a battle and a crisis, Is there whining and complaining and moaning and groaning? Do you suffer gloriously? What do I mean by that? When I go through a storm, I'm just telling you, God's going to get the glory out of this. Or do you suffer grotesquely, meaning that you just put it out there for everybody to see? Do you know what whining, complaining, moaning, and groaning does? That's like whistling for the devil. Hey, over here. I don't know if you have anybody that's ever done any predator hunting. My son's a big hunter, and he likes to predator hunt. In fact, we have a coyote. We live in town. We live right smack dab in the middle of town, and we have a coyote that comes to our backyard. And he's coming through. Now, first couple of times he ran through, but now he kind of walks through and licks his lips looking at my dogs. And so my son, who's a big-time hunter, he loves to hunt, he came over, and he brought his coyote call and his crossbow. Because you can shoot a crossbow in town, but you can't shoot a gun. And so let me tell you this about, you know what a predator call is? You put it out there, and it makes the sound of a wounded rabbit. And when the coyote hears that sound, he begins to think, hey, I'm moving in for the kill. There's something that's already damaged that I know that I can catch. I'm just going to come in and finish it off. When you begin to whine and you begin to complain and you begin to moan and groan, you are whistling for the devil. Say, listen, I'm almost done. If you want to come in now and just put that finishing blow on, I'm ready to give up. That's why when you go through a storm, you need to praise God through the storm. When you go through a storm, you need to exalt the name of Jesus in that storm. When you face a tribulation in your life, you just keep speaking the word and speaking faith. Quit calling for the devil and saying, hey, I'm over here. Amen. Walk through the storm with faith in God. Next to the letter O, write the word opportunity. Because here's the thing. Storms can become an incredible opportunity in our life. Say this with me. My storm is my opportunity. My storm is my opportunity. One more time. My storm is my opportunity. That just means God's going to recalibrate and reset my life. How many know this morning that God used Goliath to promote David? You know, David never would have become king of Israel had Goliath not showed up in his life. Listen, God used Potiphar's wife to promote Joseph. And didn't like the place that he's at, didn't like the storm that he went through, but at the end of the day, you know what? He became second in command of all of Egypt. Whatever you're going through, God will use that situation in your life. Your storm that you're facing is an opportunity. You can get bitter or you can get better. Your storm is an opportunity for you to be a blessing in someone else's life. And then next to the letter R, you're going to love this. Write the word repeat. Why? Because some storms come back. Sometimes we find ourselves fighting the same battles in life. Sometimes we may have won the victory, we may have overcome, but that doesn't stop the devil from coming back. And there's a whole seminar just in that about what do we do. There's a whole seminar about dealing with strongholds and battling strongholds, but I want you to know, sometimes you got to fight one battle more than once. Just let you know you're normal, you're okay there. In fact, I mentioned our mentor a few moments ago. Here's one of the things he likes to say. Joe McGee. Some of you may know Joe McGee, national minister. What a wonderful man, good friend of ours. And here's something that he says, not only to us, but to our church. And he talks about, you know, these thumb-sucking Christians. That's his words, not mine. These thumb-sucking Christians. He said, let me tell you why you're here. The reason that you exist is that when you wake up every morning, you need to say, I got some hell to whoop. Amen. Why are we here? What do we do? What's my purpose in doing this? And I love what he says, as believers, we are called to fight hell and solve problems. And so every morning when you get up, you may have to whip some hell. Amen. That's all right though, because God has equipped you to do that. And then lastly, the letter M, write this, man-made. Some storms are man-made. I've got a book on my bookcase in my office, and it's not a Christian book by any means, but man, I have referenced it so many times. It's a book that's simply called People Are Idiots, and I Can Prove It. The motivational speaker, people are idiots and I can prove it. And you know, how many know we are? Because we all do stupid things. But so many times we go through a storm because we sabotage our own life. We make bad choices, bad decisions, bad habits, you know, whether it's our health or our money and or our relationships. We just do stupid things that ruin and hurt and kill relationships. We do stupid things with money that ruin and kill our relationships. We live in Oklahoma, which is now the gambling capital of the world. Yeah. Yeah, we beat Vegas. We've got so many casinos around the world, the gambling capital of the world. And so as a pastor, you have to deal with that. You have to deal with people that get caught up in that. And here, Pastor, here's my Here's my story on that. Here's what we go by, is don't take your tithe money and go to the casino. But if you win, don't forget to tithe. Amen. So we got it all handled there. But people make bad decisions all along. And sometimes the storms that we face and the storms that we're going through is because we made bad choices. How many know that our choices determine our future? Our choices determine where we're going. And God has given us the power of choice. And greater than the power of faith is the power of choice. And so, but God will never take that away from you. And God will let you make your choices. He'll try to stop you. He'll put roadblocks in your life. He'll let the Holy Spirit warn you. But if you want to be stupid and make stupid calls and do stupid things and ruin your life and sabotage your own life, God will let you do that. And the thing that gets me is, why do we blame God? God, why is this happening to me? Some storms that we face are man-made storms. And here's the thing about choices. The choices that you and I make never affect just us. But they affect the people around us. They affect our family. Look at Jonah. Jonah made a bad choice. Put himself in jeopardy, and everybody on the ship around him were about to lose their lives. The choices that you make do not just affect you, but they affect all the people around you. So we've got to make wise choices in our life. Dr. Dave Martin made this statement. He said there's two types of people in life. There are drivers and there are passengers. The driver takes control of the wheel. He's got his eyes on the road. He's maneuvering around obstacles in the road. And he's got a destination that he's going. The passenger, on the other hand, just kind of sits and sleeps and daydreams and goes along for the ride. Listen, you want to be the driver, not the passenger. We drive our life by the decisions that we make. Let me give you this scripture. This is out of the book of Acts. I want to share this with you. This is Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27 through and verses 27, 28, and 29 says, "Now, when the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight the sailors sensed that they were drawing near some land. And they took surroundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they took surroundings and found it to be 15 fathoms." In other words, they're getting in shallow water. "Then fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors." Everybody say four anchors. They dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. They dropped four anchors and prayed. Now every one of us here know the purpose of an anchor. I mean, it ain't rocket science, right? The purpose of an anchor is to hold you in place during the storm. And I want to share with you this morning, just as we close, I want to give these to you very quickly, three anchors to hold you in place during the storm. One is family. I believe that families, that God gave us families to be anchors in our life. Not just our family, but church family. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how people get through what they're going through without a church family in their life. That's why I love that your pastor has led this church and established you in small groups. You may not realize this, but those small groups are anchors. Those small groups are lifesavers for your life. And when you go through a storm and you face a battle and you're going through something, there are a group of people that know you by name, that love you, that will walk with you through that storm. And you don't have to go through a storm alone. If you're not involved in a small group, you need to get plugged into one, because God put that there, not just a fellowship. That's awesome. That's great. But he put that small group in your life as an anchor. Carol, come here just a moment, please. I want to tell you something, and this is for me as much as it is for anyone. This is my anchor. I say that in a very loving way. This is not my ball and chain. This is my anchor. And she keeps me in life. And I know that whatever I go through, I've got somebody that's going to hold on to me. I cannot tell you the comfort of that. And I want her to know that whatever she goes through in life, I'll be there. I'm not going to walk away. I'm an anchor for her. I'm her. I'm yours. Like it or not, I'm yours for the rest of your life. You're stuck with me, but I'm going nowhere. And I can't tell you the comfort to know that no matter what comes our way, what battle we face, that I can always turn to someone that says, I've got your back. I've got you in this. You can do this. Amen. Thank you, sweetie. I remember I shared this at church the other day. I remember the first time, very young in ministry. We've been at this for a while, and this is my first opportunity to speak to a large crowd. And you know, I grew up in a small denomination, and God had opened some doors for us, and I was speaking and had the opportunity to speak in a church. We went there, and we're doing youth meetings. God just began to move in the youth meetings, and the pastor said, I want you to come speak to the church. And so we were speaking to the church, and it was thousands of people. I've never had an opportunity to speak to that many people, and I'm standing there, and you know, they have TV cameras, all this stuff, and I'm just thinking, oh, dear God. They don't know what they've done, you know. This is going to be an embarrassment to them, an embarrassment to everyone. And I was just, I was frightened about stepping out on that stage where so many big name pastors had stood and had spoken and speak to this crowd of people there. And I remember just thinking, I don't know if I can do this. And my wife stepped up to me and she said, you've got this, honey. And I'm like, come on. Let me out there. Come on, God gave us families as anchors in our life. Church family and your family. Second anchor that God has given us, he's given us faith. Amen. We've all heard sermons on faith. But here's what I'm going to challenge you with. Let's get back to the God who can do anything but fail. Let's just get back to the God who can do anything but fail. And let's just begin to live by faith, and let's take our faith to another level and say, you know what, this faith message, this word of faith message wasn't a movement. It wasn't just something along the road. Listen, it is the word of God that we can build our life upon and that we can establish our life upon until Jesus comes back. I've got some things here, but I want to just get to this third one. You know, we faith comes, of course, from the Word. I remember the story of a little girl. She was walking to church one day and dropped her Bible just before she went into the church. And the pastor was there greeting people as they came in, and he reached down and he picked up her Bible. And it was just the leather flaps. He said, honey, your Bible fell out somewhere. All you have is just the leather flaps of your Bible. She said, oh, no, pastor. Is every time that you say, that's not for us today, I just tear that page out. And that's all I've got left. Come on, have me know, God's word works. It's timeless. Faith works. We're not going to back away from that. We're going to hold on to this thing called faith. And then lastly, number three is this, and I'll leave you with this. It's we have an anchor of the supernatural. See, there's a natural side to life and there's a supernatural side to life. And those two worlds coexist at the same time. There's the natural and the supernatural. There's the spiritual world and the tangible world. And they both coexist at the same time. And I really think, and this is something that God has been talking to me about, I really think that we need to make the decision to say, I want to live more on the supernatural side of life. Amen. Listen, I grew up in a Pentecostal church where we had the good, the bad, and the ugly. I mean, if it happened in church, I've seen it. Right, wrong, indifferent, you know, I mean, everything you can think of in church, I've seen it. But what happened is we've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. And I think it's time to come back and say, listen, we serve a supernatural God that does speak to us, that does break into our life, that does deposit things into our life. We need to live a life that we expect miracles. We need to live a life that we're believing for God to intervene and God to show up. And we need to focus our words and focus our faith on that, because the supernatural, sometimes you're going to need a miracle to get through what you're going through. And God's still in the miracle business today. Amen. 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 The scripture said that they dropped four anchors. The fourth anchor, I think you know, is Jesus Christ. Thank God, that anchor in my life. Father, in just a moment, pastor's going to come and pray. And God, I thank you. I thank you for Jesus. And God, I thank you for this pastor and his precious wife. God, that loves this church, that loves this people. And God, there's nothing like a pastor's prayer. Oh God, we can come in and we can pray in faith, but nobody is connected to the church like the pastor. In fact, look at me just a moment. I've told people, if you're here and you have kids, do you know who the best person to pray for your kids is? You. Because don't nobody love your kids like you love your kids. And you can say, pray for me and pray for my kids. And we do that, but I promise you, we don't pray with the fervor that you pray for your kids. Because you got this heart connection. And that's what your pastor is. I don't mean to refer that you're kids by any means. I'm just saying you've got that heart connection. It's that he has a responsibility for your soul. And nobody can pray for you like your pastor can. I mean, there's the prayer of faith, there's gifts that come on, but there is no heartfelt prayer you're ever going to experience that comes from that can be any more powerful in your life than the prayer of your pastor and his wife that love you. They wake up with you, they go to sleep with you. And you're on their mind and you're on their heart all the time. And when they pray, it's not just a head prayer, it's a heart prayer. Father, anoint Pastor Marvin to continue to love this incredible congregation, to lead this wonderful group of people, to do, Father, what you've called him to do. And I pray, Father, however you lead him in the next few moments, if it's just a prayer for everyone, or if it's a prayer for someone individual, that God, you anoint him, that it's that effectual, fervent, heartfelt prayer that moves the hand of God. In Jesus' name, Pastor, come.
Would you give Pastor Ron a...
Amen.
Please. Thank you. Lord, we're...